Sheridan Wild Rodeo.
Planning a summer road trip? Before you load the kids, the cooler, and the luggage, make one important stop first. Midas Tire and Auto's ready for the road event. Midas will give you a free road trip ready inspection, and you could win a $50 gas card from Farmers Co-op. We'll inspect your brakes, tires, battery, lights, fluids, belts, and hoses, and air conditioning. If something needs attention, we can often repair it the same day. And we offer money-saving coupons on oil changes, tires, brakes, shocks, and more. Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan.
When it comes to imaging, not all technology is the same. At Sheridan Memorial Hospital, we use some of the most advanced imaging technology in the state, delivering sharper images and faster answers. From a state-of-the-art 3T MRI to advanced CT and X-ray, our technology helps your provider see more and act sooner. Walk in or schedule at Same Day Health and Imaging on Sugarland Drive, open 7 days a week, or visit the outpatient center next to the hospital. For more information, call 672-1000 or visit SheridanHospital.org.
Legacy Diamond and Gems invite you to see their special display, Great American Gems, showing gemstones mined right here across the United States, featuring Montana Yogo sapphires, rare Utah red beryl, and a variety of beautiful gemstones from Arizona, California, Idaho, Maine, Montana, Oregon, and of course, Wyoming. Great American Gems, see them now at Legacy Diamond and Gems, 11 North Main in downtown Sheridan.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whitey.
Thursday, July 9th, from the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting. And this is Public Pulse, and this morning we're joined by the mayor of the city of Sheridan, Rich Bridger, and police department chief Travis.
Can we clarify Sheridan police chief. Okay, yeah, police. Thanks Floyd for getting that cleared
I think
up.
He works in Sheridan, I'm pretty sure.
We were talking about Buffalo before the show. I had it stored, I apologize.
Well, if Sean in Buffalo's listening, Sean Bissett, the chief over there, that's not true, Sean.
He's a great chief, dude. Love talking to him as well.
We were talking important stuff about turkeys.
Yeah. You know, the vital things that you need to know about a city.
Yeah.
So I apologize. Sheridan Police Department Chief Travis Koltiska. Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome back to the show. Thanks. I'm glad I provided us all a little bit of a laugh. Chief, there is a bit of a shout out, though, that you got to do before the show kicks off. What's going on?
Well, I would be remiss if I didn't wish my wife, Mandy, a very happy birthday today. Today is her birthday, so if you see her, wish her a happy birthday, and if you know her, text her, blow up the phone.
Yep, the big 3-0, right?
Yes, yes, exactly.
The big 3-0.
So, wishing my wife a very happy birthday this
happy
morning.
Birthday, Mrs. Koltiska. It is Wyo Rodeo Week here in Sheridan, folks. I know everyone's gearing up. This is the big weekend. We got the parade tomorrow, which is essentially, I would say, probably the biggest event for Sheridan media. It is all hands on deck. We end up having meetings about this thing throughout the month. People are talking. Everyone's getting jobs assigned. I know the city has got to be even busier than us.
Yeah, it's already kicked off last night. First concert series downtown, first rodeo performance. Last night was the boot kickoff is technically the kickoff of Rodeo Week, but very similar to what you talk about down here. We start planning this months in advance, both in conversations with different departments within the city, within the police department, getting operational plans to help, facilitate a safe, an enjoyable event for everybody in our community, not only those that live here, but those that are visiting this week. That's what we want. We've talked about it before. We talked about it last week.
Mm-hmm.
We want it to be a safe and enjoyable event for everyone.
And, that's another thing that we have talked about over the years, how this week has really kind of, I guess you could say, evolved into more of a family oriented type of event.
It sure has. I mean, there are still adult only activities. That, we don't want the family all out drinking if they're underage. but there are adult-only events, but they're really, there's so much other activities to go along with, you know, that are geared towards the family. You know, you have the carnival that comes up every year, the boot kickoffs and the stick horse races are great. And even a lot of the downtown stuff. I was just downtown and got me a cup of coffee, and man, there's a lot of people downtown walking right now. That's fantastic. Right now, this early this morning. So
it's become quite the event. It's the signature event for Sheridan. So we try to pull out all the stops. We try to be as helpful as we can as far as the city is concerned with the, not only the police, but then all the things, logistical things that we do in the background as far as just basic stuff like cleaning the streets, trash pickup, those sort of things. So it's a big event for us as well.
Yeah, our public works department, all of our departments, fire department, they're all very busy this week.
Yeah.
Is there an estimate? Has anyone come up with any kind of number, or can we even approximate the amount of individuals that will pour into town this week?
You know, there are some methods for determining that. I know Sean Parker's done that before with travel and tourism with some of these events using cell phone data. I'm not sure. We've never, during rodeo, we've never done it. Maybe something I'll ask Sean.
He has a rough number. I don't know what that number is, but that's what he uses. He uses cell phone data and that sort of thing to judge how many people are in town.
And if you're out there, he's not listening to cell phone conversations. He's not monitoring anything. It just shows how many cell phones are active.
Pinging the tower.
Doesn't mean ping them. It's just how many are connected. And that's all it is. It's just showing a raw number.
Yeah.
There's no data being shared. There's no data going anywhere. Just for those that may be listening going, oh.
Yeah, we are not spying.
No.
Yeah, who has the time for that? You know what I mean? Who has the time for that?
Or the desire.
Right.
Who cares?
And I can tell you also, Sean also monitors occupancy rates at hotels.
Yeah.
This week is full. There's 4,000 plus beds available that are always full this week. So
I got a brother who does a very specialized type of concrete work, and he texted me without even knowing what this week is. He said, hey, I got a job in Sheridan next week. And this was last week. And I said, buddy, I don't even know how your company got you guys hotel rooms. But apparently this must have been planned far in advance. But I let him know. I was like, you guys are going to be going through some traffic this week trying to get to the work site. So even as you said, Chief, early in the morning, people are out checking it out. If you want the truth, I think one of the best opportunities you have to get downtown and really have that moment, and maybe some folks know what I'm talking about, but that quiet morning moment with a cup of coffee, looking at the city, it's the morning. You know, get out there as early as you can. As soon as those doors open, get yourself a cup
of coffee. Before it becomes 96 degrees.
Yes, exactly. That's another thing that you're beating with that. Now, when we talk about safety for residents and visitors during these festivities, Chief, what is your biggest talking point on that?
Well, you know, we've mentioned it many times on here before, but it's have a plan. You know, if you're going to go out and indulge in events and activities, have a plan on how to safely navigate that, how to get home safely, whether it's a designated driver, whether it's alternate means of transportation. We've said it before, one of the biggest safety concerns that I have as a chief is drunk driving, especially for this area. So we're very fortunate to have a very low crime rate in Sheridan. But you know, people make mistakes in judgment, especially when they get behind the wheel and they've been consuming too much alcohol. So have a plan to get home safely. And you know, don't get behind the wheel if you feel you've had too much.
Yeah. Someone somewhere will get you home.
Yes.
Do we have alternate forms of transportation here
in town? We do. There are shuttles, there are taxis here in town. So there are alternate means. There's not a lot. And so people have to be patient.
Yeah.
Be patient. But it always boils down. I mean, the best advice I have is have somebody who can get you home safely. Have somebody that's not going to be impaired and not be driving. I have adult kids who can drive. Yay.
Ones that there you go. Come get me, buddy.
I'm just using that example. That doesn't happen. But, you know, you use your resources, use your friends, use your family.
You know, I used to take a $20 bill at the beginning of the night, fold it up, put it in my sock. That was the way home. Mm. You know, because it's a Wyoming town. I don't know how prices are now. This was over 20 years ago, but $20 could get you pretty much anywhere in a while.
$14 to get you a carload people home.
There you go. So just take that, stash that away. You've got a ride home. And as the chief said, there's not very many taxis. They're probably going to be very, very busy. So if you've got a plan in place, a time that you want to get to the house, maybe just give them a call and let them know, hey, we need to be picked up here at this time. That would be best. And then you've got, always got that 20 stashed away somewhere. Now, when it comes to street closures and traffic, for people who maybe they just want to get out, either get to work or go about their daily business, what do we need to know?
Well, obviously, Main Street wouldn't be the way to go on that one because Main Street's going to be busy all morning long. The parade route goes up Main Street and then goes down Brooks. So that's the other street you probably want to avoid if possible. But other than that, we really don't have any street closures other than construction, you know, which we've had going on now for months. So,
is there any big construction jobs currently happening?
There is. I mean, obviously, we have our works. East Works is going on right now. Up behind the courthouse, if you've ever been up that way, that's all closed right now. We're redoing all that utilities and roads up there. So we have several big projects that are going on for the summer. And then as far as works in East Works, as soon as we get East Works done, then we move to East Laux. And so that'll be the other big closure that we'll have this summer.
Chief, when it comes to kind of looking at the city map and talking to your officers, is there any part of town where you're like, okay, let's make sure that we've got individuals over here or here? How do you plan that?
Well, thankfully, we work well with the organizers. We look at the closures. That's one of the reasons, you know, we just went through the special events permit revamp with the city. That's one of the reasons we ask and we kind of demand that special event permits, we get some time to plan.
Yeah.
We ask that those plans and those applications be in early enough that we can start planning. We can look at closure maps. We can identify, this is a, you know, Laux is a main corridor. It's a main thoroughfare to get east to west in Sheridan. And so when that's closed, when Main Street is closed, you know, Main Street's the main north-south. Where are where's our traffic congestion? Where's confusion going to exist? And so we have, you know, we start saying, okay, this intersection is going to be confusing. We may need to have a marked patrol car here during the event, whatever it may be. And so we just had a meeting with my staff Monday, and we sat down with over our tomorrow morning's operational plan with the officers that are working the parade tomorrow and kind of strategically place them in some different locations to assist people that are going down to watch the parade, assist with those that are in the parade, and just provide that assistance the best we can.
And I'm glad you brought up the assistance, because a lot of people might be out there thinking, oh, well, they're posting officers here and here to watch literally just for a crime. That's not all they're doing. Yes, they're watching out for that. That's their primary duty. But at the same time, they're there to help congestion. Let's keep this traffic moving. Let's keep the crowds moving. Yeah. Or, hey, fair warning, you're going to have a busy time going down this road.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what it's all about, is just make sure that it's safe. There's going to be pedestrians downtown. There's going to be young kids downtown. And so we want people to, I'm going to ask everyone out there, if you're going downtown tomorrow to watch a parade, which there will be thousands of people down there, take a little extra time, get down there a little early, drive slow, be patient. If you run into a closure somewhere, which you may, because, you will.
Yeah.
Just, you know, plan accordingly and be ready to find an alternate way to get around something.
Even I've run into a closure trying to leave the parade to get some news done, because we're kind of dismissed around that time. And I think, okay, I'm going to get out of here before the big rush. And, well, can't go down that road. So, folks, basically, just be patient is kind of the big key here.
Well, I think a lot of it is just enjoy the event. I mean,
yeah.
You're not in a hurry to get anywhere. It's rodeo weekend. Just have a nice time, you know, and enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
Enjoy the event. So.
A lot of places are closed anyhow.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole town kind of comes together for this one.
Well, especially during the parade. I mean, you might as well just
sit back and
relax.
Yeah.
So
get yourself something cold to drink, sit back, and look forward to the Super Soaker.
That's right.
A parade float that's going to come by.
Right.
Pray for them. Now, when we talk about this, the planning and the recent changes that were made, what were some of the problems that you were running into that kind of spurred that? Just so people understand, hey, why were they taking all of these steps? Because there can be some congestion, some issues that come up.
Well, a lot of it is there's still people still need access to some of those areas within the closure areas. There's people that live downtown in apartments above Main Street. There's business owners who work, and there's back parking lots. So, you know, we really want to try to plan accordingly for that to allow people access to their locations, to their businesses, to their residences, and at the same time make sure that there's not an incident involving somebody who's there who's come down to watch the parade or, yeah. or watch. So again, it all boils down to just safe travel for everyone involved, and that's really what our primary focus is. So that's why we start that planning, and then we can identify if we always review how things went the previous year, and you know the route that's using now we found has been the most conducive to safe travel, and so that's why it used to go down Gould Street, it used to go down Main Street, and then it'd go east on Works and then up Gould Street. Well, that wasn't going to happen with the construction this year.
Yeah.
And the reason that modified was because of construction in years past. And when you started going on to Brook Street, and it's become a very good route.
Yeah, so, it is. It's a better route for the parade in general. There's a little more room for people to spread out. They're not quite as congested.
Yeah. So yeah.
It's been a good choice.
As someone who's got to run up and down that road multiple times that day, I can tell you it is nicer.
I can get
through the crowd a lot faster to find individuals to speak with during the parade. Because we're up and down that road all day, just as the officers are, mm-hmm. I'm sure. Got a long path to cover. It can get pretty crowded with people trying to find a seat. Which brings up one more thing that I did want to talk about before we go to a commercial, and that's parking.
Mm-hmm.
Parking's always an issue, I think, in any big event. Do you have any recommendations when it comes to parking outside of, hey, folks, carpool?
Well, I mean, that's a good one. And be prepared to maybe need to walk a little bit extra. So that's why I always talk about getting there just a little earlier. You know, other than that, you know, be patient. Find the park legally, please. Find a good spot. Don't block driveway accesses. Don't block accesses for people who need to get into their businesses. And just, you know... express some patience. That's what it boils down to every time. Be patient.
And then the other thing that should be obvious to everybody, but don't park on the parade route. Leave your car there overnight.
We unfortunately will remove cars.
We will move cars. With the tow truck. Don't park on the parade route.
So. Grinnell Plaza closes down at 2 a.m. Tonight because they got to set up for the pancake breakfast and all that kind of good stuff. Any cars on the street on Grinnell after 2 a.m. are going to be removed. Any cars on the street up to, we usually give them till about 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. If they're there at 7, they're getting removed by a tow truck. If we can't, we will make every attempt possible to contact the owner of the vehicle to allow them to do it. So they don't, it doesn't incur a tow bill. But, I mean, it's pretty obvious. Everybody that lives in Sheridan knows what's going on.
And then just at that point, you know, we really don't have a lot of choice because the car's got to go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Don't leave your cars on the parade route. That's the big thing.
Make sure that they're getting home prior to 2 a.m. on which street?
Grinnell Plaza.
And prior to 7 a.m. on the main route.
And all reality, I know, city ordinance does prohibit parking in the downtown from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m.
So that's a given anyway.
It's given anyway. We are lenient with that. I'll use that word, lenient.
Yeah, that's a good word.
Because we know that sometimes people... need to leave their vehicle because maybe they didn't plan accordingly.
Yeah.
And unless it's creating a hazard, but when we're talking like the mayor said, when we're talking the parade route, it's got to be moved just on the safety side of things.
All right. On that, we're going to take a quick commercial break. More with the city of Sheridan right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM Sheridan.
Sheridan Wild Rodeo, one of the biggest events in Sheridan.
Time for family, friends, and visitors from all over the world to come home.
The First Federal Bank and Trust family would like to extend a big welcome home to everyone.
First Federal is a trusted local bank committed to our community, sponsoring the nightly Indian Relay races and helping bring you live coverage of the Friday morning live stream and broadcast on SheridanMedia.com. So welcome home from the First Federal Bank and Trust family, a true community bank member FDIC.
The media attacks him. The insiders attack him. The political establishment attacks him. Why? Because Chuck Gray gets results. Chuck Gray stood with President Trump and fought to keep President Trump on the ballot. And he defended election integrity, requiring proof of citizenship to vote. Chuck stopped a massive foreign-owned wind project from taking over Wyoming land. And stopped China, because Chuck Gray will always take the fight to America's enemies. In Congress, Chuck will protect girls' sports, take on the woke agenda, and stand with President Trump. President Trump noticed Chuck Gray's America First work.
Chuck Gray. Great job, Chuck.
The attacks are fake. Chuck Gray is fighting for Wyoming values, Wyoming families, and Wyoming's future. Wyoming doesn't back down, and neither does Chuck Gray.
I'm Chuck Gray, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Citizens for Chuck Gray.
The Sheridan Wild Rodeo is back in full swing, and for many of us,
this isn't our first rodeo. Law enforcement is saddling up for another wild rodeo and ready to ride our local streets to enforce impaired driving laws.
Whether you're attending the street dances, rodeo, polo matches, or parade,
make wise choices, drink responsibly, establish a designated driver,
or arrange for a ride to and from activities.
As we all get back on the wild rodeo horse,
make sure the ride is on your terms
and not ours.
You tell yourself you've got it handled. The rides, the medications, the meals, the cleaning, and the worry. But carrying it all by yourself gets heavy. Synergy Home Care is here to help you breathe again, while making sure your loved one is cared for with patience, respect, and real compassion. From companionship and memory care, to hospital to home support and specialized home care, they show up for the moment that matters most. Visit SynergyHomeCare.com. Call 674-HOME. That's 674-H-O-M-E. Synergy Home Care, local family-owned home care you can count on.
Why pack for vacation when your Y-O-cation is waiting right here in Sheridan County? Sheridan Travel and Tourism presents the Y-O-cation Staycation Sweepstakes. Explore the breathtaking Bighorn Mountains with an experienced guide. Relax in a cozy cabin at Spiro Wigwam. Enjoy horseback riding. Then head back to town for a movie, cool off at Kendrick Park Pool, and top it all off with an ice cream from Scoops. It's the perfect Sheridan County getaway. See the prizes and enter to win on the contest page at SheridanMedia.com.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're sitting with the mayor of the city of Sheridan, Rich Bridger, and the Sheridan Police Department Chief, Travis Kultiska. All right, gentlemen, it's an issue that we've talked about in the past. Chief, you and I have talked about this a few times now, but it is something that we should address.
Don't say it.
Let's talk about some chairs. All right. So I think the first thing we should probably do is touch on the kinds of problems that can actually take place when these chairs get out there too early. Something I didn't know until the chief told me. People put chains and ropes through these things.
Yeah, they have. In years past, chair placement very early in the day has caused accessibility issues for people traversing our downtown. Not only those that are trying to walk, not just those who may have limited mobility capabilities, but you know, just in general, when these chairs start getting stacked deep, people can't navigate the sidewalk without it being a potential safety issue. Especially when you're talking ropes, chains, stuff like that, and they're chaining stuff together. And I know people don't want their chairs stolen, but they're putting them out there. They can't be moved. They're trip hazards. If you, God forbid, we needed to get an ambulance gurney into a business because somebody had a medical event, they couldn't get a gurney through these chairs. I mean, yeah, we have scissors and knives and all that to cut the ropes, but when we're talking chains, we don't necessarily carry bolt cutters around with us.
Yeah.
So it really did become a hazard. And additionally, we're talking people who are pulling up to the sidewalk, to the curb, to want to get out and visit a business downtown, whether it's a restaurant or a retail store. They can't get out of the passenger side car, the door of their car, to even get out. I've seen it personally where somebody goes to open a door and they can't, and so the car just pulls off and leaves.
Yeah.
Well, that's somebody potentially visiting a business downtown.
But I think the bottom line here is we're not saying you cannot have chairs downtown. That's not what we're saying. We're saying be aware and be polite and be conscious of the businesses downtown. you can still put your chairs out, but just do it after 5 o'clock tonight.
Yeah.
So we're not stopping people from putting their chairs out.
Do not chain them up. Do not rope them together. Do not, those things are not going to be allowed at any hour.
Okay.
The physical barricades that are going to prevent the removal of the chair if it needs to be removed for access. Those will be removed.
Yeah, so okay. Put your chairs out. Just put them out after 5.
And I'm glad you specified that. No ropes, no chains.
No, because at some point, you know, in case we do have to move them, if we have somebody that's chained their chairs up to a meter, to a post or anything, then it becomes just almost an impossibility to get past those things unless we happen to be packing some bolt cutters with us so we can...
Which I will chains. Have.
Yeah. And, Chief, I'll have them on today, huh?
Should anybody put their chairs out there against the resolution, and then they will be collected by city staff. We will move them to over by the public restrooms by City Hall, and they'll be placed over there for people to collect later. So that's where they're going to be taken to. Originally, I talked about taking them to the police department, but we figure if it's a little closer downtown by City Hall, and they can if they violate the resolution, that's where they're going to be removed to, and they can collect them there.
But again, 5 o'clock.
Yep.
After 5, have at it.
There you go. Yeah. Now, speaking of public restrooms, where are those going to be located?
We have public restrooms by City Hall. So those are the ones that we provide. I don't know about downtown merchants, if they allow bathroom access or not. But there'll be outhouses out as well.
Okay. So. Right there by City Hall.
Yeah.
Big, beautiful building downtown. Can't miss it. And we're talking, do you know how many will be out there?
I don't. I'm sorry. I don't know.
Yeah. So. All right. Now, switching gear, is there anything else about the parade or rodeo week that you would like to touch on before we move on?
You know, just the only other issue that's ever come up is candy being thrown from the, and we've talked to the parade organizers and telling, parade contestants who are in the parade, if they're going to hand out candy, go to the curb, take it to the kids that are along the street, get it. So what we don't want is children running out into the street, potentially getting in front of a float or, you know, scare one of the horses or one of that kind of stuff. So if you're handing out, if they're handing out candy, we've told them to do that. So, you know, for those that are taking their children down there, make sure to keep the kids back to the curb. So God forbid, we don't want an accident. One of the kids getting hurt by a float or a horse or something.
Yeah, and one of the obvious things is it's going to be hot. Tomorrow's supposed to be really hot.
So
stay hydrated. You know, bring your water down with you.
Yeah.
You know.
I take a Camelback with me every year.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Throw some ice in that thing. That way I got something cool on my back, and I got plenty of water for that throughout the day.
Because it's supposed to be a scorcher.
Yeah. You know? And it is supposed to be kind of hotter than years past, too. So make sure that you've got plenty of water, folks. Don't go down there without something to sip on while you're sitting there. You don't want to get dehydrated where you're out there. Trust me, I get dehydrated over the weekend. I felt horrible the next morning.
We don't want anybody passing out because they're dehydrated. So,
all right. Now, Mr. Mayor, how did this year's budget process go compared to previous years?
You know, it was okay. My city administrator calls it making sausage because that's kind of what it is. You know, it starts out, you know, we try to figure out how much money we're going to have available to us. We have what we call the one to end list of things. There's things we have to do. I mean, we have to pay our employees, those sort of things. You know, we try to make sure we can give some sort of an inflation rate increase so people can keep up with the cost of living. So we try to do COLAs. We figure all that into our budgets. But then it comes down to just what we can and can't do as far as the money that we have available to us. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we call the making sausage portion of that, where we have our list of items that we want to get done. Obviously, we can't get everything done. So we try to live within our budget, and it becomes a process. So It's a thing that starts around February, March, and we finally come to the completion of it here where we have our budget created, and it becomes the way we live for the next fiscal year. So,
now, outside of the things that you know need to be done, were there any priorities that you had in your head going into the budget process this year?
Priorities that I had was, on my end of it, was just to make sure we take care of our employees. I mean... Chief can talk about the cost of everything that we have to do, such as police cars, which if you want an outfit, a police car right now, it runs about $80,000.
My goodness.
So yeah. It's in fire trucks. We got fire trucks. You want a fire truck, you're looking at about $1.4, $1.5 million to do a fire truck. You want to buy a dump truck, you're looking at about $300,000 or $400,000 for a dump truck. So all that stuff gets taken care of. But the thing I look at is I just want to take care of my employees.
Yeah.
You know, they have to go home. They have to be able to put food on the table, that sort of thing. So that's the things that I get concerned about. So I always like if we can do a cost of living sort of adjustment at the end of the year to help those folks out. That's kind of what I look at.
Chief, you and I had a conversation once regarding an individual that I met in Iraq who got paid, I think it was about $110,000 a year to drill three holes in a Humvee. Is that kind of the situation with the police vehicles that we have? I mean, where you look at it and you're like, my gosh, why is this so dang expensive?
Well, yeah. I mean, so to speak, it's the amount of stuff we have in these cars now. Technology, we have computer systems, all the... So when we get a raw car, right, it's just like you were to go down and buy a car off the lot, right? There's just your standard equipment. But now we're talking, we have the installation of our radio system, of our emergency lights and siren, of stuff for our mobile data computers, our in-car cameras, our radar systems. Our cars are pretty full. So all of those things are excess, right? So right now we're getting cars for, I don't know what the bids are going to come out this year, but everything added together with the stuff we need to purchase is, yeah, it's pushing $80,000.
Wow.
When I started in 95, we could outfit one for buy the car, and of course there wasn't
all the tech.
There wasn't all the tech in there, right? There were no cameras. I started before cameras were even a thing in cars. I started before mobile data computers were in cars. And yeah, those things are expensive, but they also have great benefits to operations. The computers in the car are great efficiencies. The officers are able to do a lot more on the street, stay out there, but stay visible. They don't have to run back to the department all the time to do their reports, to upload photographs, to do all that sort of stuff. With our car cameras, that's stuff that we can gather evidence much easier, and it's right there on video. So, you know, they all have it's a give and take, right? Yeah, it costs money, but it also creates great efficiencies.
Mm-hmm. And one thing I've always said about cameras, they protect everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cameras protect the police, cameras protect the individuals. Mm-hmm. Everyone's protected by a camera.
And it's, I'm an old guy, so I do ride-alongs with the police, and it's just like I got to kind of cram in behind the computer. But I think back in the day, my dad was a highway patrolman, and he had an old Plymouth Fury. That was his car, but it had a two-way radio.
And that was that.
That was it. But boy, now you get into a car and you're like, holy cow, is there some technology going on here?
Yeah, but all of it is extremely useful. And as you said, Chief, it keeps the officer where they're supposed to be, on the road.
Absolutely.
Yeah, out there.
Out there being visible, out there being proactive, out there letting people know we're out and about, provide the help to our community that we.
But going back to what we're talking about. So, yeah, we throw all that stuff into the mix, the sausage mix. We prioritize what we want to prioritize. We sit down with the staff, the department heads, and at some point you just got to draw a line. It's like, this is how much money we have. This is what we can do. This is below the line. If we have any money left over at the end of the year, we'll try to address those as we can. And that's the whole making sausage portion of it.
The needs and wants.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think through the years, I've covered a lot of different budgeting processes. And when I look at it, everyone understands the needs and wants. The big discussion that I've seen is the separation of what people feel is a need or a want.
Yeah.
That's the debate that I've seen.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. It's like, well, what do we absolutely need? What do we want? You know, where do we draw the line?
Yeah. So. Is there any project that is going to be going on that the residents are really going to see this one?
Well, the ones we have now. I mean,
the roads.
Yeah, the roads. Everybody notices those things. So
good microsurfacing project be coming up here pretty soon.
Yeah, we got a big microsurfacing project coming up. But it's all just maintenance kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Keeping the place running.
Yeah. And I imagine, you know, with the growth of the city over the last couple of years, have you seen that change?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the more you grow, the more impact it has on your services. So even like just basic essential things like just dumping the trash, picking up the trash. I mean, then you go to the landfill, it transfers over the landfill. We're filling up our landfill faster, so we got to make sales for that. I mean, it all translates into business operations. So the bigger you get, the more stuff you have to take care of.
Is there a place people can find the fiscal year 27 budget online?
We keep that secret. So. No. No, we try to be as transparent as possible. So if you go to our city website, you know, it's posted right there. It says, here, you want to look at the budget, look at the budget. So there's no secrets there. It's obviously out for the public observation and disclosure. I mean, we don't try to hide anything.
Do you get a lot of folks that come up and ask questions regarding the budget during the process, or someone might say, hey, Mayor, you know, I feel like this is really important. Would you fund it?
You know, it's most people don't, obviously. I mean, they just want to, talk about needs and wants. Most people just want to get up in the morning. They want to have a nice family. They want to have a place to live. They want to go to their jobs. You know, they have needs. They want to make sure they have enough money for groceries, those sort of things. That's the stuff that they worry about. They don't really worry about our budget too much. They want to make sure their trash is emptied. Mm-hmm. So their streets are cleaned. But there are those people that are interested in our budgets, and it's out there for public disclosure. We're not trying to hide anything. And if they want to look at it, that's fine. If they want to call and ask questions about it, that's fine. We're pretty much an open book as far as that's concerned.
On that, I got to take another quick commercial break. More with the City of Sheridan right after this. Stick with us. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
I'm Maren Borsheim.
And Nicole Pierce with First Federal Bank and Trust.
Right now, qualified homebuyers may receive a mortgage rate up to 1.5% below the current market rate with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage.
Yes, through the Mortgage Rate Relief Program.
It's designed to make buying your primary residence easier and more affordable.
We'll personally help you check eligibility and guide you through the process.
Call First Federal Bank and Trust for all the details or visit efirstfederal.bank.
First Federal Bank and Trust, because your home should be within reach. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Heard the news? Conservative Frank Chapman's running for Congress. Frank's joining President Trump's fight to make America great again. So giddy up, Wyoming.
Frank rides a range at the break of dawn. Loves this land, knows right from wrong. A rancher's grit in a father's heart. He fights for us, and that's just the start. Frank Chapman's our man for Wyoming. Seal the border, hold the line. American energy, American beef, constitutional rights. Yours and mine. Conservative for Congress. That's the plan, Frank Chapman, Wyoming's man.
Protecting property rights, Second Amendment, defending our freedom. That's Frank Chapman.
Make America great, a fighter for us, Wyoming's Frank Chapman, conservative for Congress.
Paid for by Fighting for Wyoming, fightingforwyoming.com, who is responsible for the content of this advertising, and it is not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
WyoJam 2026, outdoor concerts in downtown Sheridan. Three big shows still to come on the big stage. Country, rock, and hip-hop. Tonight, Shoot to Thrill, Recaptured, and Blow Your Top. AC/DC, Journey, and ZZ Top tribute bands. Tomorrow, Afro Man and Yin Yang Twins. Then Saturday, Michael Ray. WyoJam 2026. Get your tickets online at wyojam.com.
There is a difference between owning land and just living here in Wyoming. At 29 Mead Creek Road, just south of Sheridan, you'll find 134 acres of prime horse country. A beautiful four-bedroom home, irrigation system with water rights, and a kind of Bighorn Mountain views that just never gets old. If your dream is a place where horses, hay, and land are simply a part of everyday life, then this just could be it. So take a closer look. Contact Wendy Greeno today at ClarkLandBrokers.com.
Hey, you cowboys. Welcome to the Sheridan Wyo Rodeo. And during Rodeo Week, Dalton's RV always dedicates his service department completely to you rodeoers. If your living quarters, trailer, or RV needs air conditioning, refrigeration, or other repairs, Don't risk missing your next go-round looking for help down the road. Oh, and you can even stay at Dalton Jackalope Campground while you're in town for the Wyo. Get all fixed up, then get back to winning buckles. Dalton's RV, helping you rodeo folks keep your cool.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting, speaking with Sheridan Mayor Rich Bridger and our Sheridan Police Chief, Travis Koltiska. Chief, the new Citizens Academy, this is something I spoke with Stu McCray about a couple years ago. It's been in development. He wanted to make sure, boy, let's get this right before we put it out there. I thought it was a fantastic idea. What about it?
Well, yeah, it's an opportunity for those that may have questions about the operations of the city at all levels to come and learn how each department and the city as a whole kind of functions. So it's broken up into multiple sessions, evening sessions. I don't have the exact start date in front of me. Maybe the mayor does right there.
August 12th.
August 12th will be the inaugural kickoff, and then it's going to run approximately 8 weeks. Oh, thanks. Yeah, I didn't bring my notes. Thanks. it'll run through September 30th, and there are 8 sessions total. I was right on that. I got that one right.
Bingo.
Yeah. And you know, it's really an opportunity for those with questions about, in general about the city and in each department. So like this, August 12th is kind of the big picture with the city admin, the clerk, and HR kind of all incorporated into one. Then on the following week is, and we come up with some little names for each department. Like Public Works is the next, which is behind the orange cones, because it really wants, we want to give the community an opportunity to see what happens behind the scenes.
Yeah.
The Parks Department is rooted in Sheridan. Some pretty fascinating stuff. I don't know if I can say this online. But the utilities department is from tap to, and I'll leave the rest of that out, with the utilities, with talking water service, wastewater service, all
Let's
of that.
Don't go down that road.
Yeah. FCC might not like that.
Let's not so head I'll, down that pipe.
I'll leave that one alone. On the September 9th, we'll be behind, beyond the badge with the police department. So it's an opportunity to come, and each one of these are done on site or different sites within the city, not only city hall, but some different sites. Like the one with the police department will be down at the police department. We're working on our presentation right now. The fire line with Sheridan Fire Rescue is the 16th. Budget Boss, can you balance it with the Treasurer's Department on the 23rd? And then there's a conclusion on the 30th is kind of like almost, I guess I'd call it a little mini graduation conclusion with all the governing body and the city admin and department heads. And so it's just kind of a thank you and a kind of a wrap up.
What did you think as the chief when this idea was brought to you? Hey, will you open your doors to this academy and kind of show people around?
Well, we used to do a police department Citizens Academy years past.
Oh, wow.
And we had great turnout for several years, and then it kind of waned a little bit, so we've phased it out. So this is a great opportunity, and we really enjoyed the Citizens Academy. We really enjoyed, because there are people that have questions about the whys. Why do you do it this way? Why do you do it that way? And so we really, it's an opportunity to answer those questions that people may have. I mean, we're open door all the time. Somebody wants to call me and say, hey, chief, why do you do this? I answer it. Mm-hmm. I call them and I answer it. But it's really an opportunity to, and also to get to know more people. I'm pretty prevalent in the community. People know me. They don't hesitate to ask me questions, but I want them to get to know other members of my department. And I think it's an opportunity for other departments to experience that same thing. So I have familiarity with this type of program.
Yeah.
I thought it was a great idea, but not every department head or every department has had the same opportunity. So it's a really good opportunity for really that team cohesion and to bring the community together and say, hey, here's why we do it. And it allows those individuals who attend to get the answers they may have. And then if they're talking to people in the community and they overhear a conversation, well, why do they do that? I say, hey, I've got the answer for you.
Yep.
I went to the Citizens Academy and here's what I learned.
Yeah. Yeah, and once again, Mayor, this is transparency.
Right. I mean, we just thought it was a good opportunity for those people that are interested in how we work. This would be a great opportunity for them to join us. And I keep saying this, but we don't have any secrets. It's just we're open for business.
You know? Yeah.
So this is just one of those ways we can educate people, and people who are interested, they can come in and they can find out how we work.
During the discussions and the development of this Citizens Academy, were all the department heads and everybody kind of invited down to the big long table, and we all had a discussion on what we would like to do. How did that develop?
I'll let Chief handle this one.
Yes and no. I mean, I don't know everything Public Works is going to do, so we didn't, but all the departments came together and we were kind of given some basic guidelines and some time frames, some construction, basic construct of the what we want to accomplish, some goals and some ideas. And then we're letting each department head is kind of formulating their own little presentation.
Yeah, we're not monitoring it. I mean, this is your opportunity to shine.
I'll give everybody a teaser of my department. I mean, I've got myself with kind of general overview and philosophies of law enforcement and policing in general. My operations lieutenant will talk about patrol operations and dispatch. Captain Ringley will talk about the administrative and the support services side of things. And then there'll be a department tour. We'll do a canine demonstration. Everybody loves the dog.
Oh, absolutely.
And we'll show everybody a patrol car. So when we talked about how much what all's in those cars, they can look inside there and say, wow, yep. They weren't kidding.
What we will not do is tase anybody. So.
That's not off the table yet.
You never know.
It's still a possibility.
Well, you know, opportunities like this don't come along a lot. I think this is a fantastic idea myself. I think this is because we do. We have a lot of questions. How does this happen? And as the chief said, there's always a why. Why do we do it this way? And from what I've seen while working in the news biz is as soon as you explain the why, usually right. People are like, hey, that's great. Okay, yeah. Now I get it. Thank you. And it's pretty simple.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, again, it's just day-to-day stuff doing business. We don't try to hide anything. We don't try to be secretive about anything. This was just a good opportunity for us to let people know how we work. You know, a lot of people don't know what goes on in utilities. A lot of people don't know what goes on at the police department. Here's your chance. If you want to know, come join us.
And I'll tell you what, since I've started getting department heads appearing with the city, some of the most fascinating discussions I've had are with those department heads that you think, boy, that's got to be kind of a boring job. But once you really get into it, it's not. There's not one boring job, I think, in this city.
No, I don't think so either. I think it's all multifaceted and it's just amazing what they go to day to day and the things they have to deal with. I take my hat off to them. I mean, they're just top-notch folks.
I could fill an hour with Selena Parker. I could fill an hour with our arborist. I could fill an hour. I think I have filled an hour with our parks department more than once.
Right.
It is a fascinating world to make a city run and run well.
I call it herding cats.
Yeah. Difficult. And yet at the same time, once you get the process down, it can be done.
Absolutely.
And so is there anything that you're really looking forward to regarding?
Oh, I look forward in general to the entire program. I think it's going to be a great opportunity. I'm glad people are, I know we have a number of people have submitted applications to the city to attend. I think we're capping it at 20.
I don't know where we're at exactly. We still have time to sign up. So I don't know. I should have got that deadline down, but I didn't. But you still have time to sign up. So if you're interested, call City Hall.
I think it's next Friday, 17th, maybe. 17th or 24th.
Yeah, it's getting close. So if you're interested, put your name in. Yep.
Get in there, folks. Learn how the city works. And who knows? I've said this before, and I'll say it again. You might end up walking in there and saying, you know what? I want to do this for a living. This is a fascinating thing. I didn't know about it. And as soon as you learn about it, you become fascinated with it, and you want to do it.
Yeah.
Now, I've only got about 2 minutes left, Mr. Mayor, but there is something that you would like to talk about. How important has the recent rainfall been?
Well, yeah, that's a kind of a big thing for us, and I'll wrap it up very quickly, but we were really worried that we wouldn't have enough water supply because all of our water supply comes off the mountain. So it's reservoirs that are on top of the mountain, which is a nice thing because we have great water. I don't think there's any place in the world that has better water than we have in Sheridan, Wyoming, just for that fact. We're first to the tap, come straight off the mountain. But that being said, we're dependent on that reservoir's filling. And for a while there, we didn't think that we would have that available and that we would be doing water restrictions this year. And I would be the most unpopular mayor that ever existed. But it all worked out. Towards the end, we got some significant snowstorms that filled up our reservoirs. So right now, Bottom line is we're good. So
we're looking good.
We're looking good, and everything's, you can water your yards, and obviously we want you to conserve and be cognizant of the fact, don't waste water. But right now we have our reservoirs are all pretty much filled, and so it's just another good year for us.
Well, that's an excellent note to end on. I want to thank both of you so much for taking time out of your busy schedules to come in here. I know you guys are both very, very busy this time of year, and I really do appreciate you coming in, keeping everybody informed, and just having a laugh. You guys
are
great.
Back at you, Floyd. I enjoyed it. It was a nice time.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Floyd.
All right, you've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust is launching our Community Commitment Match to support our local fire districts during this fire season.
First Federal is putting up an initial $35,000, and a Wyoming Community Foundation Donor Advised Fund is matching that $35,000. Now we're asking the community to match an additional $35,000.
Scan the QR codes in any branch office, check our ad in this week's Country Bounty, or drop off a check at our full-service location at 671 Illinois Street. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
In America, we don't worship government. We worship God.
America's best days lie ahead.
We will make America greater than ever before.
Like Reagan, like Trump, Steve Freese is a strong conservative who believes in America. A businessman, not a career politician. Steve Freese can't be bought and won't back down. Steve spent decades in the trenches fighting for our conservative values, helping groups like Turning Point USA and Tea Party Patriots get off the ground, and fought for election integrity, staunchly pro-life, 100% pro-gun, secure borders, peace through strength, no tax hikes, period. A conservative like Reagan, a fighter like Trump. Vote conservative Republican Steve Freese for Congress. You'll be glad you did.
This is Steve Freese, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Freeze for Wyoming.
Legacy Diamond and Gems invite you to see their special display, Great American Gems, showing gemstones mined right here across the United States, featuring Montana Yogo sapphires, rare Utah red beryl, and a variety of beautiful gemstones from Arizona, California, Idaho, Maine, Montana, Oregon, and of course, Wyoming. Great American Gems, see them now at Legacy Diamond and Gems, 11 North Main in downtown Sheridan.
In Wyoming, the weather doesn't ask for permission. One day it's sunshine, the next, it's 37 degrees and sleeting. That's why homeowners call Branded 307 Roofing and Exteriors. From residential shingles to standing seam metal roofing and full commercial systems, they're built for the Wyoming weather. And when storms hit, we help guide you through the insurance process from start to finish. Call today for your free inspection or visit Branded307.com. Branded 307 Roofing and Exteriors, Branding Wyoming, one home at a time.
The Sheridan Media Online Marketplace is now open through 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. Now, it's your chance to score big local savings. Hungry? Need a night out? Tackling a project? Looking to treat yourself? Start here at SheridanMedia.com. Save up to half what you'd normally pay on local restaurants, entertainment, health services, hardware, and a lot more. Now, if you spot something you love, click it, buy it, done. Sheridan Media Online Marketplace, open now through 10 a.m. tomorrow morning at SheridanMedia.com.
From Billings to Buffalo, this is the News Talk Station, FM 103.9 and 930 AM, KROE. KROE.